Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ksufos is Kuf Ches. We're on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We're about halfway down on the Amud. We're going to pick it up today with the words Tashma. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. The daf is Lona Zech and Ishmat Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're in the middle of the 13th parak of the Masechta. We're finishing up the Masechta. I think second day of Shavuos is our official end date. The 13th parak is a little bit of a tangent off of Ksuvos because it deals with controversial statements that were made by Tanaim that we don't hear much about. One Tana by the name of Hanan, the other Tana by the name of Admon. Two controversial statements made by Hanan, seven controversial statements made by Admon, and we're in the middle of discussing those statements. If you recall, the Mishnah talked about we're going all the way back to the first Mishnah. The Mishnah describes a scenario in which someone goes off to the on a little adventure or business trip, and his wife is demanding mizonos. So Hanan and the Kohanim Gadolim have a debate in terms of when she collects her mizonos from Beis Din, meaning Beis Din is going to come and start selling off property from the husband. So is she going to make one shvuah or two shvuahs? Hanan's of the opinion that she make only one shvuah, and the Bnei Kohanim Gadolim say that she makes two shvuahs, one at the beginning of collection and one at the end of collection. End of collection, as we described already a couple of times, means that after the husband's died, and now she wants to collect her ksufa, so she has to make a shvuah that the only money that she's taken so far is only for mizonos, and she's taken nothing more than mizonos. Good. Machlokes between Hanan and Admon. Certainly sounds like from the Mishnah, a simple reading of the Mishnah is that she's going to get mizonos. That's not the issue. The only issue is going to be how many shvuahs she needs to make. Meanwhile, we saw yesterday on the very top of Kuzayin Amud Aleph where there was a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that if a husband goes away, so poskim mizonos leishasish, so therefore Beis Din goes ahead and allocates from the estate of the husband. The husband's alive, he's just not around, so we allocate money from the estate towards the wife. In other words, to put it in really simple terms, so Rav is going like our Mishnah. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, ain't poskim mizonos, so no, we don't do that. Why don't we do that according to Shmuel? So the Gemara gave two opinions in the Gemara yesterday why that should be. One opinion in the Gemara is Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says, tsari atvasa, which means that before he left, there is a chance, there's certainly a possibility, he knows he's going to go away for a while, so he's going to hand money over to the over to his wife, give her, you know, a wad of cash, you know, in other words, some monies that she can work with so that she'll have something to eat, and we're concerned about that. That's one possibility. The other possibility, says the Gemara, is that maybe, look, she gets mizonos from her husband, but she, in exchange for that, her masi adayim go to her husband, her earnings go to her husband. But maybe we're talking about a scenario in which she decided, you know what, you keep your mizonos and I keep my earnings. So maybe she wasn't getting mizonos altogether. And so because of those two possibilities, the Gemara brought a nafkamina, coupled nafkaminas based on those two, in these two explanations. But based on these two explanations, Shmuel says, no, she doesn't get mizonos. The court, yesterday, just two more points to fill out. The Gemara pointed out that within the first 3 months after the husband goes away, we don't touch any of his estate. In other words, for the first 3 months, we assume that the house was not left empty. And then another thing, what if we heard that the husband's dead? So then even Shmuel is going to agree. If we heard that the husband's dead, so then obviously then we're going to start tapping into his estate in order to pay for her mizonos. Okay. What about the Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah sounds pretty clear that the husband goes away, we give her mizonos. And the only thing, the only issue in the Mishnah was how many shvuos do you make? One shvuos, two shvuos. But it sounds like from the Mishnah you give her mizonos. So was Shmuel, every Kasha and Shmuel, so every time Shmuel hears the Mishnah, so he says, yeah, you know what the Mishnah is talking about? Shishama Boshem. Mishnah is talking about a scenario in which we heard that he died. So that's why you're going to give him his mizonos. But under the circumstances where he just went away, and we don't know otherwise, and we assume he's coming back, we just don't know when. So then Shmuel's of the opinion that we're not going to tap into his estate and start selling off properties to pay for her mizonos. Adkan, that took us to the end of the daf. Actually, not yet. We're about to get there. We are Tashma. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. We are Yeah, the first words in the line is Tashma. We so far, up until this point in time, have quoted a lot of Mishnayos and Braisos, most of them supporting Rav Shita, most of them being Akasha and Shmuel, but every single time the Gemara defended Shmuel Shita, and we're continuing. Tashma, the Gemara continues, Aisha Shachayu, Bala Medina Sayam. Wife goes together with her husband overseas. So in other words, she's on the business trip. Ubarva Amra Meis Bali, and she comes back and she has the following unfortunate news to report. My husband's dead. Ratza Nizonis Ratza Gabek Sivasa. So here, she can either get supported or she can collect her ksuva. Gershuni Bali, so what if her claim is that my husband divorced me, and it's a claim, meaning if she had documentation, so then that would be a lot better. But Gershuni Bali, so then what you do is you keep giving her parnasa up until the ksuva, meaning you max out her mizonasa up until the point of ksuva. So the but nevertheless, what's going on over here, it certainly sounds like where she comes back and she reports that her husband died, and or that her husband divorced her, and both in either one of those circumstances, she is going to be getting mizonos. Getting mizonos meaning that the Beis Din is going to start selling off her property for her to collect mizonos. Once again, that's wonderful for Rav. That's difficult for Shmuel. So hachnam kishishama boshame. So again, the Gemara's defense of Shmuel is, well, there was a rumor that he died. In other words, we're going on the case where she reported that she divorced him, and then afterwards there was a rumor circulating that he died. So the Gemara says, okay, why is there a cap to her mizonos? Normally, chi of mizonos continues ad infinitum, not ad infinitum, but in other words, as long as she's living within the estate, within the house, she's going to get mizonos. Why over here is she getting tapped out at the ksuva? So he de afsedei anafsha. So the Gemara says, well, over here in this particular situation, she's the one who said Gershuni. She's the one who said that he divorced me. Grusha, of course, doesn't get mizonos. So and once we hear that he died, so then, look, she's certainly entitled to ksuva. That's clear. Is she also entitled to mizonos? So that's unclear. So the fact that she reported that she's a grusha, so now she's the one who caps her mizonos to the point of ksuva. Okay, Tashma.
He died. He didn't have a divorce. Basically, saying right.
Right.
Not that he died after the divorce. He died before the divorce.
Well,
there was no divorce. He died.
I'm saying her.
She divorced, so she screwed herself up.
Yeah, okay, correct. Tashma. Kate said, Amru Memenes and Lemizonos. Okay. What's the situation where a Memenes does not receive Mizonos? Okay, Miyun. Again, where the in Seder Nashim, this comes up again and again. A girl's father passes away, and the Chachamim allow either the mother or the brothers to marry her off. That marriage is not a bona fide Torah marriage, but nevertheless, the Chachamim allowed for such an arrangement. She, on the other hand, when she becomes 12 years of age, she can walk away from this marriage, and this is what's called Miyun. We've gone through this time and again. Kate said, Amru Memenes and Lemizonos. Now, we have a rule that a Memenes does not receive Mizonos. Now, what exactly is that talking about? What are the parameters? Now, is it while they're married? Married, we're going to put in quotes, but still, quotes are not quotes. They're living together as husband and wife. So if it's during the marriage, we know, as long as it's a rabbinically sanctioned marriage, so we're going to treat it like a marriage, where he's going to have to feed her. In fact, that's the whole point. The whole point of this arranged marriage and the chachamim sanctioning of this marriage is to taking care of the girl. So, So the case would be where we say that a mima'enis does not receive mizonos is a scenario where her husband goes away, and what does she do? She borrows money because she needs to eat the achla, and then she eats amda, and then at 12 years of age, what does she do? Miyana. So she does miyan. So she walks away from this marriage. Now, normally, when a woman borrows money, so what happens? So you borrow money, and it's the husband's obligation to support her, so that means that the husband, therefore, is obligated to pay back the loan. But over here, she does miyan. So the Gemara makes a very simple deal, time of the miyana. So over here, the reason why she loses her mizonos is because she did miyan. Halo miyana yavinala. So had it not been for miyan, so then she would have gotten her mizonos. So amalach ha-shmul ha-chul. So the Gemara says, okay. Shmuel says, look, I understand this is difficult for me, but let's consider the possibilities. So again, what are the two reasons why Shmuel says we're not going to go into the estate and start selling off property? So if it's a function of maybe he left her some money, so we point this out yesterday, we're going to point it out again today. Sarari le katana lo matfis. A man doesn't give his wife, when she's a katana, that kind of money. In other words, I know it's strange, but she's old enough to be married. Not really, but she's certainly not old enough to be responsible for that kind of money. So he's not gonna give her that kind of money. And the Gemara says, and if it's an issue of her earnings, katana lo safka. So the Gemara says, as a general rule, we're gonna assume that a katana is not gonna be able to earn that kind of money. So really, Shmuel says, I'm of the opinion that you don't go into this thing, you don't start selling off assets and properties in order to pay her mizonos. But for these two concerns, and over here in this case, neither concern is true. So therefore, we're going to assume that not only is she entitled to mizonos, but you're going to start selling off property in order to pay for her mizonos. Okay, Adkan. Now, that is the conclusion of the sugya in the sense of, we now quoted all the mishnayos and all the brisos, and I think every one of them, we'll have to do another series of Chazara, but I think every one of them is supportive of Rav. There's very little that supports Shmuel, but the Gemara defends Shmuel throughout. So the Gemara now discusses a halacha. So my havila, so the Gemara says, okay, let's come to a conclusion over here. So a scenario came in Beis Shearim. Remember, Rebbe lived in Beis Shearim. Remember, he moved from Beis Shearim over to Tzipori. Crisper air, for cleaner air in Tzipori. But there was an incident where Rebbe went to, an incident where a woman went to Beis Shearim to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi and said that my husband went away and I need support, and he did it. In other words, so he took properties away from the husband, sold them in order to pay for a mizonos. Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel b'tzipori v'lo pasuk l'mizonos. And meanwhile, another incident came in front of Rabbi Shmuel, and he ruled like Shmuel, where he didn't give him mizonos. So Tali bar Rav Yochanan v'chima Rav Rabbi Shmuel shlo pasuk l'mizonos. So at which point Rav Yochanan says, "Wow, am I not following? Why would Rabbi Shmuel do that?" Meaning, why wouldn't Rabbi Yishmael give her mizonos? And basically, Rav Yochanan asks the same question that we asked on the Amud Aleph. Meaning, I'm not following. Look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says she gets mizonos. The only issue in the Mishnah is, how many shvuas does she make? Of a mizoni avinala. So, Amalei Rav Shem and Bar Abba, Kfar Tikamah Rabbi Nishmuel, Babava Kishasham and Boshemes. So, Rav Shem and Bar Abba, student of Rav Yochanan, says, you know what I heard in Bavel? I heard that in Bavel, Shmuel learned the Mishnah. But then Shmuel said about this Mishnah, the Mishnah is only talking about a scenario where we heard about the death of the husband. So Amrlei Patrisu Bakulehai. So Rav Yochanan says, wow, that's a lot of interpretation in the Mishnah. Really? The Mishnah is talking only in that scenario? Okay, in other words, right, rhetorical question, end of discussion, meaning Rav Yochanan didn't like that pshat. So Rav Yochanan is, if we can line him up, he's... Now we'll put him on the side of Rav. Now Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. This it works every time, right? In other words, we have two reports from what happens in Eretz Yisrael. We have Ravdimi and Ravin. They're frequent flyer travelers, shuttling back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and I'm sure they agree on many things. There's more agreement than disagreement. But the Gemara always provides for us the two versions of what happened. And Rav Dimi comes in and he tells one version. Ravin comes in and he tells another version. It's pretty much textbook. You can pretty much rely on that. So v'lo pasuk l'mizonos. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says, look, I agree. There was a woman who came to Rebbe in Beis Shearim, and she was demanding mizonos because her husband went away. And you know what Rebbe said? He said no. So lefnei Rebbe Shmuel b'tziporu pasuk l'mizonos. And another scenario in which someone came to Rebbe Shmuel and he did give her he did sell off properties in order to pay for her mizonos. So okay, it's the same point. Meaning it's a machlokas tanaim. It's just who took which position. I'm Rav Yochanan Marash Lo Pasuk La Dalo Nechlu Chanan Benikonim Gedolim Elalin Yeshua Ava Mazor Zavinla. And in this report, Rav Yochanan is asking the same question. our Mishnah says that properties are going to be sold in order to pay for mizonos. The only issue in the Mishnah is how many shvuos. So Amalei Rav Shem Bar Abba Kvar Tirgam Hashmuel B'Bava Kishasham Abba Shemes. And again in the second reporting, Rav Shem Bar Abba says to Rav Yochanan, yeah, but Shmuel learned the Mishnah, and Shmuel said the Mishnah is only talking about a case where rumors that the husband has died. Amalei Pachusa Bakuli Hai. And again, the incredulous response to Rav Yochanan, no, it can't be. Can't be that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. V'Hilchasa Kavase De Rav. So the Gemara says, as a conclusion, the halacha falls like Rav, and mazonos is in fact stipulated for the wife.
Is this a financial case, or is it?
Yeah, in other words, that's what makes this even a bigger chiddush. That's right. That's a very good point. Meaning that normally when it comes to mazonos, we fall like Shmuel, we don't fall like Rav, and so this is a little bit of guesswork on my part. I mean, maybe that's why the Gemara went through so many Mishnayos and Brayos of supporting Rav and Rav Yochanan, and we also see that Rav Yochanan is on the side of Rav as well. Okay.
I think it's because of Rav Yochanan. Yeah. Following.
Okay, it's fair. It's very fair to say that. So Isha Shatam, I'm sorry. Ve'ilchus Kavase the Rav poskim mazonos. Leishis Ve'ilchus Kavase the Rav Huna Amarav. And then the Gemara says, and also just another point which we've touched on earlier in the Masechta a number of times, and the Gemara is also arriving at a conclusion. You know, we're like at the end of the Masechta, so like the Gemara is like wrapping up a couple of things. So the Hilchasa and the Gemara says, and another thing that we possibly like Rav is Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Yechola Isha Shetama Labala Einin Mizonos Veino Osa, that a woman could say to her husband, "Look, I'm going to keep my earnings, and you're going to keep your mizonos." And in other words, she doesn't have to be force fed mizonos. She can hold on to her earnings. That is within her right. And finally, Hilchasa Kavasi the Rav Zvid Bekunya, and then the Gemara says, and this is kind of like out of left field, but I guess in other words, in terms of the halachas, these three halachas are packaged together. I'm not really sure what the common denominator of these three are. You're going to have to be a little bit creative to find out what the common denominator is, but let me just say over the halacha. So the halacha follows like Rav Zvid as it relates to kunya. So first of all, what are we talking about? So take a look at Rashi. Mani de kunya kli cheresh mechapen aleim oferes shekarin, and then Rashi has a word. Phil, maybe you know what it means. But anyway, I'll describe it as best as I can. It's earthenware which is glazed with a metal. Okay, very, very popular nowadays is that our china has a glass glaze on top of it, right? Used to be the glaze, this is what was reported to me, I don't want to sound like I know what I'm talking about, but it used to be that the glaze was very thick on the earthenware. Right nowadays the glaze is really thin. But anyway, we're describing an earthenware jug which has a metal glaze on top of it. Earthenware is very porous. Earthenware, once it absorbs a taste, that taste cannot get expunged. So over here, however, this is not that simple because it is earthenware, but it's got a metal glaze, and the metal glaze pretty much fills in the pore. And so the issue over here is this bolea? Is it does it absorb? And if it No, let's say it better. It does absorb. Can I expunge that taste out of it? Like, in other words, we know by metal, so you can extract the taste, right? Kabbalah kach polta, the way that the taste goes in and the way that the taste comes out. That's not true by earthenware. By earthenware, once it absorbs the taste, that's it. It's in there and it stays in there. So Amra Zvin Hani Mani Dekunya. So if we have the earthenware that's glazed with metal, chiver ve'uchme share. Now, again, I'm lost in terms of the metzius, but if it's either white or black, so then it's going to be permissible. Yeroke asiri, but if it's green or yellow, so then it's going to be prohibited. So, okay, so I'm not sure what the difference is between the colors. One is bolea, the other one's not bolea, but either way, the point is that if it's got the right kind of metal glaze on top of it, so that kind of glaze does, in fact, we're going to treat it like a metal kli, if it's white or if it's black. If it's green or yellow, so then we're not going to treat it like a metal kli. V'lo marinella delais be kartufne, aval is be kartufne asiri. However, if you see that even with the glaze on top of it, there's still cracks, and so that means that the taste is going into the earthenware, so then the Gemara says, so then the glaze, it's no longer treated like a metal kli, it's treated like a kli cheres, and therefore it's not subject to kasher. Okay, totally not related to our issue, but I guess all these halachas were bundled together. Rav Zvid,
Say something else.
Rav Zvid gave a pshat within Shmuel earlier. Okay, fine. Mishalach l'midinas hayam. Okay, we're up to the next mission. We're on the bottom of Kuf Zayin. I'm at Beis, and we're about to begin today's daf. A person goes away on a trip. V'amad echad upinas es ishta. And here comes along a very good Samaritan. Okay, he's a next door neighbor. Sees that the wife is struggling because husband went away and she doesn't have any money. So what does he do? So out of the goodness out of his heart, so he sponsors her food. Okay. Now, the question is a very simple question. Does he get a reimbursement for that which he did? Okay. Intuitively, what would you think? In other words, given...
Was it union stuck?
Very good. Okay. So, without going any further in the Mishnah, I mean, we will in just a moment. So let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi writes, Chanan Omer Ibn Es Ma'osaf. Okay, I know we didn't read that yet in the Mishnah, but Rashi over here really helps us with the context of the scenario. Shalom Artila Chalveni. Rashi says like this. He didn't say, I'm lending you the money. V'ani apareya. And, I'm sorry. She didn't say, lend me the money, and I'll pay you back. But Rashi over here points out, if he lends her the money, he says, oh, you need money? So I'll lend it to you. So now we're talking about a regular loan. Regular loan, of course you get paid back with a loan. The whole idea of lending money is that you're going to get paid back. So if we're talking about a loan, so Rashi says it's a davar pashut. Of course you're going to pay back. I'm sorry, I'm menashe tashalim lo hu. So hu tovavi hi tovas abal. So he's demanding from her the money. She, of course, will turn to her husband because her husband, in fact, is meshubad. He owes him the mizona. So that under those circumstances, of course, he's going to get paid back. Rashi says you don't have to have a long memory. All you have to do is remember the beginning of today's shir. We talked about the girl who did miyun and therefore is not going to get paid back her mizonos. Had she not done miyun, of course she would have gotten paid back because she borrowed the money. You borrow the money, you got to pay it back. So Rashi's telling us our Mishnah is not talking about a case where the woman says, let me borrow money. Okay, so what's happening in the Mishnah now is that the next door neighbor is saying, look, I'll give you the money, and it was not clarified that this was a loan. Okay, I'll show you Rashi later on this morning where Rashi pretty much says that in his heart, he was hoping for reimbursement, but it wasn't structured as a loan. He didn't say it. And so now the question becomes, does the husband have to pay this man back? Well, intuitively, you'd say the answer would be yes. And as we'll see in just a moment, that's not clear. Chanan Omer Ibed Es Ma'usav. So Chanan is of the opinion that he lost his money. He does not get entitled to be paid back. Very interesting shita. We're going to discuss in just a moment. So structurally, this Mishnah is the same as the previous Mishnah. Meaning Chanan made a statement, and who disputes him? The Kohanim Gedolim. And the only thing she's going to do is just make a shvu in terms of how much money she took. And then he, the sponsor, is going to be entitled to that money back. Amr Rav Dosa ben Horkanus kedivrehem. It's literally the same structure as the previous Mishnah. Rav Dosa ben Horkanus agrees with the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. Amr Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Yafa Amr Chanan Hinech Masav Al Keren Atzvi. And Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I agree with Chanan. I think this is, you know what it's like? It's like taking money and putting it on the horn of a deer. It's an excellent visual. In other words, you take your money, put it on the horn of a deer, and try to get your money back. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get your money back. Okay. Yeah, it is interesting. It's the exact same structure as the previous Mishnah. Okay. Anyway, what's going on?
Second thing I found.
Huh? And this is right. This is the second statement of Chanan. Yes, right. Absolutely correct. In other words, this will be the last we'll see of Chanan in this parak. Okay. Let's think this through. Okay. A woman is right now next door and she needs to be fed. She's hungry. She needs to eat. Okay. And her husband is obligated to pay her, meaning that's part of the shibud of the husband. And right now the husband is shirking that responsibility. He went away and didn't make arrangements for this. So I go over and I sponsor her. Okay, so I think intuitively, it's all, I'm not sure if we'd have consensus, but I think intuitively, if he asked you what the halacha would be, sure, I'm sponsoring something that she's owed, so I should get paid.
Right.
Even if we didn't structure it as a loan, again, go back to the Rashi. Rashi says if you structure it as a loan, then we're not having a discussion. It's obvious that I would get paid back. But even if we didn't structure it as a loan, I'm giving her something that the husband is obligated to give her, so I'm basically taking on a financial responsibility of the husband. So what if the husband doesn't pay me? So that means that he had a gain based on me. So it certainly intuitively sounds like the halacha would be that he has to pay me. And meanwhile, Hanan, together with Rav Yochim and Zakkai, are both of the opinion, I don't get paid. So how come? So you take a look at the Tosus over here, the bottom Tosus on the Amud. So he provides for us a little bit of an understanding in terms of the Shita of Hanan together with Rav Yochim and Zakkai. Hanan Omer Ibad Ma'osav like Alak Shuyah Mehad Dekai Malad. So Tosus says, remember we had a discussion going back to Daf Pei. Okay, so... 28 days ago. So the Gemara over there says that Yorah L'soch Sadeh Shal Chaveru V'nitah Shal Abir Shus T'shamen Lo Karis. So So it's a Gemara that we saw earlier. It's a Gemara about Mitzia as well. Let's say somebody's field is fallow, and he's not doing anything, and I go onto that field uninvited, unasked, and I start and I plant the field. And in other words, I do a courtesy for him. In other words, I'm benefiting him. What's the halacha? The halacha is he's got to pay me. Okay, well, exactly the structure of that payment. So the Gemara over there, the Gemara about Mitzia. But in other words, he has to pay me. So Tosfos says, yeah, that's true, but that has no bearing on our discussion. And Tosfos says, then I'll point out the difference, and with this difference, we'll understand the shita of Hanan and Rav Yochim and Zakkai. The hasam hashevach be'en. Because when I plant in that field, so you see improvement, the improvement is a real improvement. So there's a real improvement, so therefore I'm going to get some form of compensation. However, over here, but over here, you didn't see any real shevach, you didn't see any real improvement. Now,
the wife is fed.
Right. Right. Now, I know. I understand that. The wife is fed. Had the wife not been fed, so it would have resulted in some tragic results. All that's true. But we are now discussing, in other words, you gotta put on strictly your halachic glasses, and you gotta see this from a strict halachic standpoint. In order to receive compensation, there has to be a real improvement. In other words, it had to be valued at X, and now it's valued at X plus. Whatever the real improvement is over here, it's a wife.
And in the case of, and you told me, right?
Yeah.
We had a case where we said that the guy wanted him to support his wife. I mean, that was like a principle. The principle that the guy wants his wife to be supported by Yatoman.
Understood? Okay, look.
Why is it here that he's like...
So, let's read a little bit further in Tosfos. Elashatzilam ikvias bachovo, velo midi yahivle. All I did is, I saved somebody from their creditor. But I didn't provide for them anything actual and real. From the Gemara's perspective, all right, the little that I seen and know from going through the number of pages of Gemara that we went through, is that in halacha views value and hana as only that which is tangible and real, right? Something which is, you know, in other words, somebody relieves the stress. You know, I appreciate it, thank you very much, but you didn't give me anything tangible and real. Over here, from the husband's perspective, what did you give the husband? Nothing. In other words, he had an obligation, and that obligation obviously is a real obligation, but what tangibly did you give the husband? A relief from his Baal Chov, a relief from his creditor. Rashi says, "V'lo midi yayivle," but you didn't give him anything actual. V'havi kemavriach ari menichsei chavero. And you know what it's like, says Tosfos, it's tantamount to taking the lion and pushing him off the other person's field. Meaning you saved him, but you didn't give him. And so over here we're making a very important distinction, Tosfos is, between saving versus giving. You save somebody from an obligation, that's nice, it's wonderful. Certainly it's a courtesy, but it's not a real benefit. Giving something to somebody, improving, making a real improvement on his field, that's something which is tangible.
Is it principle of ein chayim v'adam shavu?
No. In other words, over here we're just talking about what is considered a real benefit. A benefit that allows you any form of compensation. And it has to be something which is real and tangible. Over here, vis-a-vis the husband, you didn't give him a real and tangible benefit. All you did is just now allowed his wife not to bother him when he comes back.
Why don't we say...
I mean, she'll be unhappy when she comes back, but she won't have any financial claim against him. But that you saved him from that, but that's all you did.
Why don't we say she could have gone to the bed then? So the fact that she didn't, and he did it, so he didn't talk. Like he said, Sudoku, wasn't it?
Okay, good. So he did a tovo. But from the husband's standpoint,
she could have.
So again,
do it illegally.
And you're right. And when all said and done, you're absolutely right. And all she did, all the sponsor did, was save the husband from that loss. That's all you did. And again, I understand. In other words, I started off the discussion. If I was asked intuitively, would the husband have to pay? I'd say yes. And now, I'm trying to understand the position of Chanan and Rav Yochanan and Zakkai. So Tosa says it's saving versus giving. You save the husband money, but that's not the same as giving. And that does not obligate you a compensation. No, that's the interesting part of this whole discussion. You're absolutely right. In other words, if he misses, there's back pay, and that's an obligation.
He's not retroactively responsible.
No, he'll be responsible. But once the sponsor now has given her that money, so that takes it off the books. So the husband now says, okay, great, thank you. What do you mean? That's all I get. All I get is a thank you. Halachically, yeah. Would it be the right thing to do to pay the husband? I'm sure it'd be the right thing to do. Is he obligated? So that's what Chanan is saying. No, he's not.
He could have used a masir there also. So that's why I think that the fact that she had two outs to get mazon
okay.
Anyway. So that's why the husband.
Look, I know there's an interesting.
Like Shemuel that we don't follow.
I know it's an interesting discussion, but okay, just we're going through the position of Chanan. Tanan Hasam, we're going to learn together now a Mishnah and a Dharma. The Mishnah says, Amudar name chavero. So let's say two people are really upset with each other, and so we're going to see a lot of this in the next Masechta. We'll see a lot of this. And so they basically say, okay, I'm not going to get Hana from you, and the other one says, good, I'm not going to get Hana from you. Okay, so now arms folded, right, stare down at each other. They're just unhappy with each other, and they both pledge through an eder that they're not going to get benefit from one another. And so the Mishnah says, so what can they do for each other? I love it. We're going to do a lot of this in the Dharm. Okay, they can't get benefit. Okay, now what can they do for each other? So shokol shiklo. So the Mishnah says, okay, they can provide, they can give each for each other machzis a shekel for reasons we're about to explain. Pareis chovo. They can pay each other's obligations. It's pretty good. Umachzir lo avedaso. They can return a lost item to the other person. Umakum shenolin schar tipol anal lehekdesh. Now, in some communities, if somebody returns a lost item, the minig of some communities was, okay, you should pay him. Meaning, right, it's like Mishloach Manos. Like in some communities, the minig is, if someone delivers, so you should give him a little money. So in some places, the minig is, you should pay him. So here, returning a lost item for people who have pledged that they're not going to benefit from one each other, so that's fine. For reasons we're about to explain. But an actual financial consideration, that you can't do. That's already going over the line. Okay, so now let's take this step by step, one by one. The Mishnah over here, a very strange Mishnah, meaning, aside from the fact that two people are swearing they're not going to get benefit from each other, but that's the starting point of the Mishnah. But look at all the things they can do for each other. What is that? So the Gemara says like this, Bishlam Meshokel Sheklo Mitzvah Kavid. So as far as Machetz is a Shekel, so that's not a benefit, that's a Mitzvah. Meaning, Gemara goes on to explain. We're going to explain. Did not torment ala avav ala gavav ala sila gavos, because we know that. Let's go from the perspective of the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, we discussed it just the other day. There's a chamber in the Beis Hamikdash. All the shkalim that are collected from all of Bnei Yisrael are put into one chamber, and then trumas alishka, and then three times a year the gizbarim, the accounts, the CFOs of the Beis Hamikdash, they go in with three boxes and they have three baskets, and they come and they collect, and good, that's Trumas Alishka. And they're going to collect on behalf of everybody. Now, when I say everybody, I mean, let's go through the Mishnah now inside, Torma Mala Avod. Let's say the person, right, any member of the Jewish people living anywhere in Eretz Yisrael gave money, and that money was lost. he gets credited. Good. Next, al hagavui. Let's say the money was collected, it just hasn't yet arrived at the lishka. Good, we're taking off truma for him as well. Al asid lagavos. And you know what? Even for those people who are delinquent. In other words, they're getting the bills. Bezdin is sending them the, you know, in the envelope they see, you know, here's your statement. You owe for this year, you owe for last year, you owe for the previous year. He's getting the bills and he hasn't paid yet. He also gets credited as well, even though he hasn't given. In other words, the Truma Salishka is taken, it's credited to everybody, even for those people who didn't pay. And Rashi, by the way, if I could just share with you an interesting Rashi. Rashi says over there, "Vafila lo nigba la'acha mikan yesh lo chelik b'truma over karbanos." Even if he never collects from that person, he still gets credited with the karban tzibra. Ela shechisa mitzvah. You know what he didn't do? He didn't do a mitzvah. So in other words, the machitzas hashekel is a very interesting phenomenon. It's an interesting vehicle. It is, on one hand, an obligation. On the other hand, it doesn't hold you back from participation in the carbon tzibur. And so therefore, when all is said and done, you know what the giving of the machitzas hashekel is? It's a mitzvah. It's not a regular financial obligation. Basin is not going to start coming in and saying, hey, where's that money? Even though, don't get me wrong, they will. Meaning, you'll get the statements, you know, and you'll get a knock on the door. But in other words, but even failure to do so, you still get credited for the carbon tzibur. Okay. So, these two people who made a neder against one another, so they can give on behalf of one another, because, again, it's a mitzvah. Okay. Umachzir lo aveda so nami mitzvah kavid. Now, returning a lost item, okay, great. Granted, you're going to be receiving a wonderful benefit. You lost an item, and now I returned it to you. Good. But at the same time, from my perspective, I'm not benefiting you. What am I doing? I'm doing a mitzvah. Fine. And by the way, the money being thrown. In other words, if there's a financial consideration, obviously, don't pay that, because that's money. That's real money being transferred. So that you can't do. Why is the money thrown to Hektesh? So when we get to Nadarim, ask me that question once again, and we'll go over that question in more detail. Ela Parelas Chovo Hakimishtar Shile. But the Gemara says, but here's the part of the Mishnah that I really don't get. These two people, Reuven and Shimon, are so angry with one another, they made a neder, they're not going to get benefit from one another. And then Reuven has an obligation. Shimon says, no problem at all, I'll pay it.
Isn't
it a mitzvah to pay
an obligation,
Mac? Yes. But meanwhile, isn't Reuven receiving a direct benefit from Shimon? Because now here's that creditor knocking on his door every day, and now Shimon, with one check, is now taking, you know, you're good. That's not a benefit.
Reuven would have been credited if he didn't pay. You just said that before.
No. That was the machzor shekel. Here we're just talking about a regular creditor. In other words, right, Ben is right. It's a mitzvah to pay back your creditor. That's correct. Mitzvah aside, he's owed money. In other words, he's not going to say, you know, it's nice that you want to pay me. It's nice that it's a mitzvah, but all said and done, you need to pay me.
But that's the thread that goes through all these three cases. It's a mitzvah.
Correct, but it's a mitzvah. It's a, right. It's but over here though, it's a mitzvah and it's also a financial obligation. Your property will be seized if you don't pay back that loan.
Okay. Is a mitzvah for me to pay his debt?
No. Okay.
No, it's a mitzvah for you to pay your own debt off.
Okay. Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Phil's arguing that in this case over here, Reuven has an obligation to pay his own debt, but Shimon doesn't have an obligation to pay Reuven's debt. Okay. Anyway, let's wait. Just wait 1 second. So Amar Avoshia Hamani Chananhi Amar Ovedas Ibedas Ma'osav. So the Gemara says that Mishnah Nedarim. You know what? That Mishnah Nedarim is following like the opinion of Chanan. Meaning, now let's see these two cases side by side. Meaning, in our case, meaning the Mishnah, what happened? The husband went away, and here comes a very nice sponsor. And what is he doing? I'm going to pay her mizonos. And the husband comes back, and what does he owe him? Nothing. Why does he owe him nothing? Because like Tosfos, it's mavriach zari, because he's not giving, he's just saving. So, right, there's no tangible benefit that went to the man. All that is that the creditor now is taken off his back. In this case, it happens to be his wife, but it doesn't matter. Meaning that's a saving, that's not a giving. Good. Wrong conjunction. I was about to say Masha Ain Cain. Over here, it's the same thing. Over here, every day, Reuven's getting a knock on his door by his creditor. What does Shimon do? Shimon now gets the creditor off his back. Okay, so now why can Shimon do that? Shimon made a neder that he's not going to be benefiting, that Reuven made a neder, he's not going to get any benefit from Shimon. Isn't this the benefit? So now that we lined up these two shitas together, so Chanan HaMitzri. I'm going back to what we learned in the beginning. So Chanan says, no, it's not a benefit. Here too, it's not a benefit. Good. That's approach number one. Rav Amar Afilo Teimer Rabbanan. So Rav says, no, you don't have to do that. In other words, the Mishnah in Adarim to be going like Chanan, let's see if we can have it going like the Chachamim of our Mishnah, and let's do that. So the Gemara says, interesting. Maybe the case in the Mishnah over there is not talking about a loan with term, but rather an open ended loan. Okay, so the lender is unbelievably generous, where basically the lender says to the borrower, look, here, you need money, fine, I'll lend you money. In terms of paying me back, on your schedule. Right, there's no schedule in terms of when the payback is. I understand, but revolving credit usually so that you can just keep adding interest. So the in other words, and it's an open ended loan. So over here now, so here there's no real benefit because as far as Reuven is concerned, who borrowed the money, so there's no threat. There's no right. He's not pressured. So now Shimon pays off the loan. Okay, that's very nice. Thank you very much. But the truth of the matter is that you didn't really create for me any benefit. So the Gemara says, no, look, I understand Rava. What motivates Rava is that I don't want to explain that Mishnah and Dharma to be going like Hanan. I'd rather have it conform with the majority position. But why didn't Rav Oshia give the pshat like Rava? So Amalcha Rav Oshia Nihi Dahana Leislei. But Kisufa Mileisle. So the Gemara says, look, even on an open-ended loan, right, you owe somebody money. So every time you walk to shul and you pass them by, good morning, right? Right, and you're embarrassed every time you see him because look, I know I don't have to pay back the loan by any point in time, but I do have to pay back the loan, and I owe him the money, so I'm embarrassed every single time. And the Gemara has another line which Rashi doesn't seem to have, but either way, the Gemara says, look, saving somebody from embarrassment, that's also Hana. So I'd rather explain the Mishnah and Dharma like Hanan, which is that saving somebody money does not qualify as Hana. It's a fundamental approach, as opposed to over here, where now we're debating whether or not this is a benefit, this isn't a benefit. I can argue this is a benefit, right? Having to pay back your lender, and even if it's an open-ended loan, but now you're no longer embarrassed by having to pass them every day, I would say that's the benefit. Okay, let's do one more Mishnah, one more Gemara, and we will continue then tomorrow with the second Mishnah. Mishnah, Admon Omer Shiva. Okay, we're up to Admon. Okay, here we go. We know this parak. We know the structure of this parak. Two controversial statements that were made by Hanan. The Chachamim argue, the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim argue with Hanan, and in both times Rav Yochanan and Zakkai supported Hanan on his position. And now the next seven Mishnayos that we're going to be seeing together here are going to be the seven statements that were made by Admon. And again, they're controversial. Let's go. Admon Omer Shiva. He made seven statements. Misha Meis V'Inech Banim Uvanos. A man dies and he leaves sons and daughters. Bezman Sheha. So if there's a lot of money in the estate, a lot of money we identified elsewhere in the Masechta means enough food for everybody for 1 year. So if there's a lot of money in the estate, so then regular Yerusha, regular inheritance law, which is that the sons inherit and the daughters are obligated to get supported from the estate. Over nechasim awatim, however, if there is not a if it's not a large estate, it's a small estate, not enough food to support everybody for 1 year, habonos yizonu v'habanim yachzeru al hapsachim. So here, by nechasim u'atim, so the daughters are going to get all the money, and the sons are going to be asked / demanded to go begging door to door for their money. Okay, so a special takana de rabbanan, the rabbis made in order to protect the daughters. Admon. So Admon Omer bishul shani zacher hivsadati. So Admon says, what? I don't understand. Because I'm a male, I'm going to lose. Now it's very interesting over here. In this statement of Admon, is he arguing? So a very interesting. Right. I would have said that. Take a look at the first Tosfos on this Amud. Very interesting opinion, Rabbeinu Tam. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam. It's halfway through the first Tosfos on this. Halfway through the first Tosfos, right after the parentheses, Baba Basra Daf Tuf Lametes. Omer Rabbeinu Tam Dahinu Tam Daadman Lav Leafluge Amilsa DeChachamim Asa. He's not arguing with the Chachamim, but rather Ella Matma Ba'amahu. It's just an incredulous statement that he's making. Very strange, but I mean, but Rabbeinu Tam says it, so you know he's a Rishon. He's not just any Rishon, but Rabbeinu Tam says it. In other words, it's an interesting approach to our Mishnah, meaning that Admon is not necessarily arguing, but it's just hard to imagine. The Torah instructs that the inheritance goes to the male children, and now because Nechasim Moatim, now the male children are not going to get what? But it's like just like an open ended question. Okay, usually that doesn't happen in the Mishnah. But anyway, Amar Rav Gamliel, Roni as Divrei Admon. And then the next statement is very hard to imagine. Rabbi Gamliel says, I agree with Admon. According to Rabbeinu Tam, what, you agree with the question? Okay, but anyway. Okay, so Mike...
divided equally among boys and girls.
Oh, my Kamar. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know, what couldn't Admon get over? Meaning, what bothered Admon so much? So, I'm Rabbi Hachi Kam Rabbi Shush, and he's Zachar Varoy La Suk Batorah. He have Sadati. So, the Gemara opens up with a Abaye's explanation, and that is, look, the male child is going to say, look, I have an obligation to learn Torah. And so, not only am I the one who the Torah designates as the recipient of the inheritance, but on top of that, I'm obligated to learn Torah, and I'm not going to get the Yerusha. So, I'm a Le Rav, Amand Alsik Batorah, Hu Diyaris, Amand Alsik Batorah, Lo Yaris. So, Rav says to Abaye, what are you talking about? Meaning, when do we find that Yerusha has anything to do with learning Torah? Meaning, let me ask you a simple question. Let's say the boys aren't learning Torah. Okay, it's not right. It's not right. Are they not going to inherit? In other words, do we have? In other words, as they go to probate, right? And we're looking for now a division of the inheritance, right? Are the questions that are asked to the kids? Are you learning Torah? Only the one learning Torah is going to get. And we know that's not true. So, and Rava says, I don't understand. Okay, so El Amar Rava Achi Kamar Bishvil Shani Zachav Raila Yerish Menachas Merubim Hevsadati Menachas Moatim. Okay, so the pshat, which really I thought was a simple pshat in the Mishnah Alta to begin with, is what Rava says is, look, if there's a lot of money, I'm going to get that money, and if it's a little bit of money, so now I'm not going to get it. Meaning that as Kal V'Chomer's work, right? If you're entitled to get a lot of money. So yesh b'chol manim asayim. So you're certainly entitled to get a little bit of money. So just objectively, it's hard to understand the structure of this takana, where I'm going to get a lot, but I'm not going to get a little. That's weird. But again, the counter to that, of course, is that's exactly the point. That's what the Chachamim instituted, because there's not enough money to go around. So therefore, the Chachamim were interested in protecting the daughters. So the daughters are going to get that limited inheritance, and the sons are going to have to go knocking door to door. It's exactly the point. Okay. That kind of takes us to the...
another case where we see the girls go banking? Yeah.
Now, generally speaking, no. You'll remind me. I don't remember. But, okay. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah, Hatoim. Okay, and good. We're almost done with the 13th parak of the Masech.